All right, what's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We are live at the Podcast Lounge in ATA in New Orleans. Thanks, Frio Hydration and Hoist Water for helping put this on, as well as Dragonfly Max. So I'm joined with Colin Perry and Brett McQueen. We're talking about weather and sports safety. So this is pretty cool. I had an interview with our local weather guy, our meteorologist, Tim Heller. He came out to the school and did a podcast with me and Dr. Mark Knobloch talking about weather and just how they do that. So it was really eye-opening to learn some of the stuff that they do is really just kind of like an opinion. Like when they put the rain chances, you know, it's based off of observations, but it's not like the computer says it's this or something like that. But other than that, I'm not much of a weather guy. Usually Bill, my counterpart there, is always got weather on, or Sarah. So usually I'm the type of guy that walks outside and knows it's raining because I'm outside, right? And so without much further ado, we're going to talk about weather and sports safety. So Brett, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Colin, welcome to the podcast for the very first time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, so Brett, you have been doing some research and I believe some talks on weather and sports safety.
Yeah, so I've done several variations of the same talk about a dozen times now, looking at new weather applications, the efficacy of them, reliability, validity, just seeing what's out there, looking at the different subscription services, what works, what doesn't, and trying to get some better information out there about how to recognize different types of weather phenomenon that people don't necessarily see all the time. Differentiating between shelf clouds, wall clouds, stuff like that, that, you know, things that look really scary but may not be all that scary, kind of demystifying some things. And but I've really honed in on lightning, because that's the one that we talk about all the time as being a big potential killer for sports and athletics, and for athletic trainers working in the fishing arena, which sounds like a dream job. But those are probably the most at risk folks. But it's still a big risk in all sports. And so what do people use for their lightning applications, their alert systems, and how good are they? So that's kind of what we've been focusing on with my different variations of the same talk.
Perfect segue. Speaking of applications people use to detect weather, Colin, why do I have you on here?
Well, because I think we are the best, you know, weather and lightning notification system out there. But, so at Perry Weather, you know, we kind of focused on the three main areas that, you know, athletic trainers and athletic departments are impacted with weather. And so that's lightning, obviously, and then your heat and cold policies, which I think a lot of times get overlooked. Because, you know, especially in Texas where we're located, I mean, heat fatalities and illnesses are actually probably a higher, issue than lightning itself. So we definitely concentrate on developing our platform to hone in on those kind of three key weather variables that, you know, you guys as athletic trainers, kind of have to wrestle with almost every day.
All right. So tell me a little bit about, I understand that you're a relatively new company, right? You're relatively new.
Yeah, we're new. We're new to the, in the greater sense of things, because, you know, we're only about 6 or 7 years old, where some of these other, you know, companies would be considered more dinosaurs in the industry because they've been around for a long time. But, you know, I think we've definitely established, you know, a good repertoire for being, you know, relatively new. But, yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk about some of the weather applications that Brett has seen. He's going to talk some about his kind of thoughts on yours. But what do you feel why are you different? Why would somebody choose Perry Weather over anything else?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the first thing that I always tell athletic trainers is, you know, we may be good at weather and weather data, but it's the athletic training departments that actually have built our platform. So athletic trainers are the ones that made everything, you know, look and feel the way that our system is. And so we feel like we have the best system because it's, you know, developed by the people that actually use it every day. You know, we go in and make it happen, right? But at the end of the day, we rely on the athletic trainers and the athletic departments to give us that vital feedback on, you know, what are the ways in which our system can be utilized to make your job easier and quicker and get that information out faster to hopefully, reduce risk related to, you know, weather issues.
All right, so Brett, what are we looking at here? What has changed in the Lightning game?
So the Lightning game has changed a lot recently with the launch of a couple of new satellite systems and what they are able to measure and detect and look at and predict as far as Lightning data goes. A lot of that stuff's not commercially available yet, but hopefully at some point it might be. The biggest thing is that there are several different Lightning detection networks out there, and the ability of them to get more than just some cloud-to-ground strikes and look at more of the cloud-to-cloud strikes, which predict cloud-to-ground strikes. I mean, cloud-to-ground Lightning is only about 30% of total Lightning out there. So if all you're picking up is 30%, how good are you and how safe are you? So trying to get to a platform that's going to pick up that cloud to cloud better to know whether that storm actually has lightning in it or not, regardless of whether you can see it. All of those are big subscription services, and you know, you can say you get what you pay for. And Colin and I were having this discussion earlier. It's not even that you get what you pay for, because you're not paying for accurate data a lot of times. So applications, the one I hear most common, I think Colin can agree with this, is I just use Spark by Weatherbug, and that's perfectly fine for me. Well, you don't know where your data is coming from. You don't know how old the data is. I've had people tell me, I've seen that a lightning strike will happen right there, and 30 minutes later it will tell me that that strike happened 10 miles from here. Well, it's not accurate. I can see it. And so getting to the point where we're all using systems that are accurate and reliable and give you real-time information is really where we need to get. It's kind of like paying for liability insurance. Nobody wants to do it, but at the end of the day, that's what saves things. So I think, you know, Perry Weather has certainly they are on the top tier of products out there. There's only one other that I recommend, and it just based on what people's needs are. For the vast majority of athletic trainers out there, it's a school district-based system or a university-based system, and that's what you need. Perry Weather, right there, done. Piece of Cake is a great platform. You know, Colin can talk a little bit more about the pricing structure and user announce, but the only other one out there that I do recommend regularly is the DTN platform, and only because they got their start in agriculture, so they've got a lot of the hydro stuff, and they've got avionics software as well. So if you're a major hospital system that has flight crews, road crews, all that, they work with a lot of Department of Transportation offices. That might be more advantageous from a total budget standpoint for a hospital if everybody's going to use a piece of the pie. But if what you're looking for is simply athletics and sports, lightning safety, that is real-time, accurate information that comes from the top company in the world, these guys right here are the ones to go with.
So at our school, we use DTN or MX Weather Sentry.
Sure.
Right. And so, again, like you said, it's a district-level decision. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, okay, sure. Well, this is what we're going to go with. This is what we're going to everybody's going to use. This is going to be the standard. We're going to set it up so that it gives you those lightning alerts, and it can text it out to all the coaches. And, again, that was one of the battles that we had is – us as athletic trainers would get the text for the lightning, and then we'd have to send it out in an email or text to everybody else. And if I don't have my phone or somebody else, whatever, but if all 12 football coaches on the field get it, one of them has their phone, one of them's going to know, hey, it's time to go in.
Sure. So. Yeah, no, it's only advantageous for the athletic trainer to be the only one getting the information if you have an athletic trainer who is with every sport every day at all locations. And I don't know a high school that does that in the country where, you know, if there's a high school out there that has 20 athletic trainers to go with your 20 sports, please let us know, because that's pretty cool. But I mean, that didn't even happen at the university level most of the time.
Right.
And so how do we combat that? You get on platforms where the coaches are getting the same information you are, and then they have no choice but to abide by whatever policy you have. From a policy standpoint, the accuracy of most of those platforms out there, it's just not good enough to fit within a policy. That's one thing that, that Periweather's data is good at. It's pinpoint, it's precise, it's the same every single time, and it's real time. So that's certainly something that I recommend if people are going to stick to a policy of it is this far away, get off the field. You've got to have something that's accurate and reliable. Because I've seen the same spark message come in to five different people with five different distance locations at the same time. It's not accurate.
All right, so Colin, you said Periweather was built by more or less for athletic trainers, by athletic trainers, or the people in athletics. What are you guys doing to continue to create that there? Or what are some of the things that you've seen that others have done well and then you guys have, you know, kind of gone from there as well?
I think you guys just alluded to it a second ago, is that, you know, as great as these automated text and email alerts can be, you know, you as athletic trainers, you know, can't be all places at all times. And with our system, you know, we'll give access to every single one of your coaches, but, you know, coaches are coaching. I've been a coach, and I usually don't have my phone on me when I'm out there on the field. So, you know, it kind of in response to that, you know, we still give everybody access. It'll track their GPS because you've got, you know, you may be on site, but you've got, you know, different teams going to different locations, and you're not, you know, aware of what's going on or where they may be. But, you know, we also developed an outdoor warning system. So it's an audible and visual alerting siren unit that can kind of take care of the issues where, you know, the coaches don't have their phones and the ATs are in there, you know, in their offices doing rehab on, you know, an ACL or whatever, wrapping ankles. And, you know, that kind of takes out the guessing work of, oh, I didn't have my phone on me, or I wanted, you know, that coach wanted to get, you know, a couple more plays in, even though they did get the alerts. And so that was kind of one of the ways in which we were, I feel like I've been pretty innovative in adding that to our platform. And, you know, we're really the only ones that can do that or that have that access. And then we worked with, you know, last year we worked with the KPI Institute up in Connecticut, and kind of dealt with their medical professionals with heat and cold policies. So we, you know, discussed a lot of the issues related to the, this industry with kind of measuring heat and cold policies, and how do you go about doing that? What are the tools available for that? And so we developed our own in-house weather stations that we've actually installed, you know, all over the country, and it's bringing in live, you know, wet bulb global temperatures, heat index, wind chill, wind speeds, rainfall, with, you know, HD camera, and so that's been, you know, massive in being able to get real-time data to, you know, individuals, you know, across the country, and really trying to look at how do we continue to push the envelope with weather, because, you know, it's not perfect and we're going to continue to grow. But I think those are two great ways in which we've really tried to kind of see where we can expand and try to help the industry out.
All right. So, again, speaking of the weather, the stuff that y'all have seen, speak well of some of the other weather platforms. Obviously, you know, we're not here just to sell.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the things that maybe someone's not going to go with Perry, but what are some of the things that you've seen and you've liked from other providers?
I think the bottom line is, you know, Brett hit on it, is, you know, you're going to get what you pay for. And so if you're looking at a free service, you're going to run into issues where, you know, there's just not the right kind of data that you need, not in real time, and it's almost more of a liability than it is helping you. So I think, you know, the product like DTN or Earth Networks, they're going to be able to provide a lot of those facets that we do provide, and they do it. They've been around a lot longer than we have, and so they've done it well. And so, you know, I have nothing but good things to say about them. And so it's really just a matter of, you know, budget and then what you're looking for, like Brett was saying. But yeah, there's definitely viable options, you know, for an array of needs. And so it's really just at the end of the day, exploring those needs, exploring those companies, and figuring out, you know, you as an athletic department or as an athletic training group, which one fits our needs best.
All right, so Brett, we were talking a lot about lightning, but you're not just speaking about lightning, you're speaking about other weather. You said cloud formations and cloud-to-cloud strikes and those kind of things. So what else do most athletic trainers, Brett, need to know about the cloud formations, the lighting, and really you're going to keep it simple, because I'm not studying clouds. I'm just
sure,
not.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all see those clouds that look really scary, and sometimes they are and need to be treated as such, but sometimes they're not all that scary, and they just look cool. So probably the most common example of that is what we call a shelf cloud, and that's the one that spans the entire horizon, and it's just like this massive wedge of something coming at you. And a lot of times that gets misreported to the National Weather Service as a wall cloud. Wall clouds are characteristics on major thunderstorms or even squall-line thunderstorms. It's a lowering from the cloud base that is rotating, and that's where tornadoes end up forming. A shelf cloud is just a frontal boundary coming through, and typically that's the ones where you get just a big burst of wind, a big breeze. All of a sudden, the temperature changes rapidly, something like that. But they're scary and nasty. I think they're cool, but a lot of people think they're terrifying when they come in and, you know, make the sky go dark. So when people start hearing reports, obviously, you know, one person says one thing, and then everybody says, "Oh, I heard there's a wall cloud." So, well, not necessarily, okay? So I think that's one of the common themes that the National Weather Service is trying to do. Obviously, there's especially in the plain states, the tornado alley states, there are storm spotter training classes that people can go learn about all these things. But they're trying to get a better push from reliable people, medical professionals being on that list, to report things in. And so knowing what those things look like can help as far as a reliable report for what you're seeing out in the field. At the end of the day, meteorologists are wonderful. They're very smart people, but most of the time they're sitting in a building behind a computer. Sometimes in order to tell what the weather's doing, you just have to step outside and look at the weather. Like you were saying, you're a guy that steps out and knows it's raining because you're getting wet. That's important. But knowing what clouds are dangerous and what clouds are probably okay isn't as important. You know, I talked on Tuesday in the talk I gave here about an instance. I was out kayaking a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden there's this shelf cloud there, and the last place I want to be in a kayak is in the middle of a lake if there's lightning coming at me. So I pull out my phone, and I see on the radar that there's a big outflow boundary coming through from some thunderstorms that are 100 miles away that have just so much energy they pushed out this front, and that's all I'm seeing. I'm seeing a big shelf cloud from an outflow boundary that's totally harmless to me in that instance. So those are the things that it's important to know. One of the questions I had in the talk is, well, what are the guidelines on wind? Because we've had a lot of wind this year. Okay, well, you know that those kick up a lot of wind. If you have a lot of loose dirt and dust at your place, well, that might cause a bunch of eye irritation issues for you as the athletic trainer to have to deal with. So it's all about mitigating risk. And if you can look at a cloud and say, ooh, that's risky, let's go ahead and get everybody inside. Lightning or no lightning, maybe that's helpful information to have.
All right, so Colin, so talking about as far as the cloud formations, the storms coming through, is there anything in the Perry weather system that does that, or is it just the possible, you know, I just got a text right now from DTN saying possible dangerous thunderstorm in your area or whatever. So what does that look like there on your end?
Yeah, so, I mean, yes and no. You know, we you know, on our system, you know, you've got satellite imagery layer that you could go, and so that would show you kind of some of the clouds that are out there, or obviously radar imagery that's going to show you precipitation intensity. And so, you know, the darker and warmer those colors are, obviously the more dangerous they're going to be, or the heavier they're going to be. But in all, in essence, we're really trying to keep things really simple. And so, you know, I think it is important to, you know, in situations like this, to get educated and to learn about kind of some of the nuances that you hear that may sound a little bit scary for the person that's not, you know, a cloud expert or a weather person. But kind of understanding some of these basics, I think, does help in decision-making processes. But what with our platform, what we're really trying to do is create kind of a very simple system where they can look, receive the alerts, and make a decision based off of that. The only other thing that I would say that we do provide is, you know, we do have on – on-staff meteorologist. So, you know, part of the platform is that they, you know, as athletic, you know, and medical professionals, you can actually reach out by phone or email to our staff and talk to an actual meteorologist and say, hey, you know, I'm not getting any alerts. I don't see lightning in the area, but I see this crazy, really scary cloud. Can you give me an idea of what's going on? Am I missing something? Is this something to be concerned with? And so that you can actually talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about and walk you through that situation and say, hey, you know, storms are actually going to be popping up in the next 20 to 30 minutes. I know there's no lightning yet, but there's a high probability of it coming soon. So if you've got a big stadium full of people or if you've got a game scheduled for a little bit later on, you know, keep abreast of what's going on and call us back or shoot us an email if you have any other questions. So,
all right, so I know you guys had a siren going off here at the end of the day yesterday. So that's one of the kind of the new features. I think ThorGuard is the only other brand that I know of that has that outside lightning alert so that, you know, the tennis courts can hear it. So it's the same as a football and the band on the other side of the school. You know, talk a little bit about that system and go from there.
Yeah, and actually that system was basically created, you know, in response to the ThorGuard system. I think the, you know, no knock on ThorGuard, but it was the only thing at a long time. And so we went at it from a different approach. You know, like Brett was mentioning, you know, we tie into a ground-based lightning network that we subscribe to that feeds into our system. And so these are actual confirmed strikes, cloud to cloud and cloud to ground, with a high detection efficiency. Whereas, you know, the old ThorGuard system is going to be having a sensor on site that's going to be measuring static electricity. You know, so where our system is going to be actual lightning strikes and that's it, you know, something like a ThorGuard or different static electricity sensor, that's going to be, you know, measuring the potential for something. But a lot of, you know, those static electricity features can actually be created by or, you know, duplicated by other things such as spider webs or dust in the air or, you know, a leaf or just, you know, overall, you know, damage from something. And so
transformer blowing down the street, something, I mean, anything like that.
Right. And so, you know, our system was developed to kind of get rid of that component and just feed our lightning data into it. And so really our units and our boxes are, you know, just have the ability to set that same radius for the lightning and, you know, send off a loud blast when that lightning gets within that 8 miles or 6 miles or 10 miles, whatever your school's policy is. And then, you know, you could customize it to have three, you know, single blasts for an all clear after 30 minutes or whatever policy you guys abide by. And so those things have been super helpful for getting, you know, that immediate response to the masses where, you know, like I said, an athletic trainer, you know, is, you know, in their office. And we know that most athletic training offices are, you know, basically four cinder block walls. There's not a lot of athletic training offices that have windows in them, you know? And so even if you are able to look outside, there's value in being able to have that taken care of. So you're not having to get in your gator or get out on your feet and run down everybody and make sure that they saw their phones and they're getting off the field.
Yeah, that's one of the great options. And I know we can continue the conversations talking about the features. And, Brett, I know you're doing talks around, and maybe at some point we can kind of continue and go a little bit more in depth. At this point, we're going to close it out. So someone wants to get a hold of you, Colin or Brett, how are they going to do that?
Go ahead, Brett.
Easiest way for me, you can catch me on Twitter. I think it's either bmcqueen42 or b.mcqueen42. I don't remember which it is, but or email brett.mcqueen@outlook.com, and I'd be happy to help anybody navigate some of the systems that that you might be interested in.
And again, Brett's been on the podcast a couple times, Skyping in. So if you would like to have a presentation in your sports medicine class, something like that, about weather, or he's got a couple other topics as well, then you can hit him up and he can be the guest speaker there. So, all right, Colin.
Yeah, well, thanks again, you know, for having me. And so the easiest way is just perryweather.com. Honestly, you know, my email is Colin with one L, Colin at perryweather.com. If you've got any questions or just want to reach out to me, feel free to, but perryweather.com, and you can get a hold of me or, you know, anybody else just by going there and checking out what we've got to offer too.
All right, so for Jeremy Jackson, Sports Medicine Broadcast at the Podcast Lounge, NATA 2018, that is a wrap.